Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Around this time each Friday, I introduce you to Nicola Tookey. She's been a regular part of Afternoons for several years now. It's called Critter of the Week. She's the CEO of Forest and Bird, and she joins me now. Hi.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. I actually found a Critter of the Week page on, I think it was on NIWA's website earlier this week. I was looking something up. Yeah, I don't know. They must have been before us, I think.
It was before us, and in fact, I'm so glad you raised that, because I actually thought about this recently, because I follow NIWA on Instagram, and they had a really cool series of images of little underwater critters, and then I went, oh, that's right, and it was completely accidental, but I remember when we just started Critter of the Week, looking back, and they'd had a Critter of the Week on their website, and so I don't want to get into some kind of copyright war.
Let's start some beef, man. Those atmospheric scientists have had it too good for too long.
But we should shout out to NIWA, and hopefully they don't send a letter saying, please stop using that phrase because we don't back the work that you're doing.
Nah, not me. NIWA scientists, I'll fight you anywhere, anytime.
Whatever. Remember I said that a couple of weeks ago we had that event, Women in Conservation event, for Women in Conservation Day with National Library, and we had a series of speakers, and we had a scientist from NIWA, and she bought real critters, like a giant amphipod, and so it was primarily for high school students in the Wellington region who wanted to, you know, learn more about getting involved in careers in conservation. And so she led a science talk, and she had like the amphipods, which are like giant underwater slaters, but like the size of a small cat. on the table, and
really?
Like bits of coral, bits of crazy deep sea things that you find. So you just leave NIWA alone, man. I love them.
Yeah,
shout out to NIWA.
Yeah, well, if people want to have a look at, if one Critter of the Week is not enough for you, there's a whole back catalogue on NIWA's website, including the prickly king crab and the gregarious squat lobster.
Yes,
but
love me a gregarious squat lobster.
What's our focus this week, Nicola?
Look, our focus this week, because, you know, I feel like New Zealand hasn't had enough, and the world hasn't had enough of grebes yet. Don't you? I mean,
you're talking about that John Oliver thing where the crested grebe became like, had the attention of the world for a few short weeks, yeah.
I'm in Wellington this week, and I can assure you, having walked past that hilarious mural on Gisney Street, the featuring both the giant grebe and John Oliver,
really?
And a whole lot of other. Oh, it's hilarious! It's amazing. It's by. He was on Radio New Zealand recently. It's by Kieran. What's his last name? He's an Air New Zealand pilot. Who got in the headlines, he's of Indian descent, and he got in the headlines because he speaks fluent te reo, but he also just happens to, in his spare time, he does these incredible artworks and murals, and he asked us if he could do a Bird of the Century one, which, as I said, features John Oliver and grebes, and so they're still everywhere. Everybody loves Bird of the Century and a giant grebe. Crested grebe, but that's not what we're talking about this week. But just in case you weren't getting enough grebe goodness, we can talk about some more grebes today. Do you know why? It's World Water Day, the United Nations World Water Day, and we should probably think about that since we are, in fact, made up of some 70%. water as humans. It's probably something, you know, it's funny, isn't it? Because we all get carried away with various kind of, you know, what we're doing in our lives and politics and all the things, but water's probably quite important since we're mostly made of it. So in honour of World Water Day, I want to talk about a type of small grebe. Where we are, the New Zealand dab chick, and its scientific nomenclature is as follows: Poliocephalus rufopectus.
Do you think there's people out there who hang out for the scientific nomenclature each week on Critter of the Week, Nicola? Do you think it would?
I know there are, because they growl at me if I get it wrong, and so
for me, it's like the RNZ Mountain Forecast. It's on every day, and you think, is anyone listening to this? But then, hey, you take it away, and people go crazy.
Yeah. So the New Zealand dab chick also has heaps of names. It has this one's quite hard. I mean, I love to speak Te Reo, but this is a bit of a mouth wrangler. It's like I have a couple of worst words. One of my worst words is rural, which is very difficult for me because I live in a rural environment.
Yeah,
hard to say.
My hard one is community.
Community.
I've got to really say community. I've just got a lazy mouth, I think.
That's like, have you ever seen Benedict Cumberbatch trying to say penguin?
I haven't.
It is hilarious. He can't do it. I advise you all to look it up. Well, penguin is not the Critter of the Week.
I'll find a little clip of it for the end of this conversation. Thanks, Nick.
Yeah. Okay, so we've all got a worse word. This one's probably a bit tricky for me. A bit like rural, the where we are has a whole bunch of other names. So it's the New Zealand dab chick. It's the New Zealand grebe. If you are from the Hokianga, it is the Tai Horopi. It's also known as Toto Kipio Tarati Moho in Waikato. And, you know, that makes sense, right? Because they are kind of place-based creatures, locally found by local people. And dab chicks are a type of grebe. They're a small grebe. They, which is why they are kind of known as a chick. They're not really. They're about half the size of a mallard, right? A duck. So, you know.
They look a bit ducky too.
They look a bit ducky. And the dab part is it refers to how they kind of dip and dive underwater. My son Hunter can dab. I don't think dab's still a thing anymore. I think some other
Not for about a decade, I don't think, Nicola.
Yeah. I can't dab. Anywho, so what I love about these birds is they are absolutely true water birds. So they feed, they sleep, they build their nests on water. They are, even though they're little and they look like a wee duck, they can actually dive 4 meters deep and they can hold their breath for around 40 seconds.
Gosh.
It's just a really long time if you're a really small bird.
Yeah.
As another aside, can't help it today, a lot of digression going on.
Isn't there just?
Do you hold your breath when you drive over a bridge?
No, sometimes me and the kids will do it through a tunnel, though.
Okay. Yeah, you've crossed the rules. So you toot in the tunnel and you hold your breath on a bridge.
Who made you the
anyway?
Lung police.
So the Rakaia Bridge, for the main branch of the Rakaia River in Canterbury, is at least, I think it's 2.5 kilometres long, and depending on whether, if you get stuck behind a tractor, don't try this at home because you're not going to make it to the end if you're doing 30 kilometres an hour, just saying. but 40 seconds or so, probably just over 40, is about, I think that's probably about right for crossing the Rakaia Bridge. I'm probably going to get done for speeding now.
Hang on. 2.5 kilometres in 40 seconds.
I reckon someone's going to write in about this, and then I'll probably get a visit from the police.
Yeah, I don't think that's right. I think that would be about 300 kilometres an hour, Nicola.
Okay, maths isn't my strong point. The point is, holding your breath for more than 40 seconds as a human is quite a big deal. If you're a tiny bird that's 4 metres under the water, I think that's quite a powerful thing to be able to do. And just further to that, Jesse Mulligan, they also have submarine superpowers. So they can actually change their buoyancy underwater. So if I think about recently, I've been doing a wee bit of free diving and I can get down to maybe 5-6 meters, but it requires having to wear a very heavy weight belt in order for that to be true. And so, you know, they are able to change their buoyancy with no weight belt, and they just adjust the angles, the angle of their very dense waterproof feathers.
How cool.
against their bodies. Now, the other reason that we love the Where We Are, the New Zealand Dab Chick, is this is a story of hope. Their numbers are increasing. They are a threatened species that is doing the right thing. It's turning around. And actually, I checked on the DOC website, and it said that they were extinct in the South Island, that they basically, because they declined through sort of 18th, 19th centuries, coinciding with introduced predators and habitat loss, and so therefore they were extinct as a breeding species in 1941. However, DOC needs to update its website because they're back. So breeding pairs have now been spotted in Takaka, Blenheim, down the main drag, but nearby, and in numerous locations between Marlborough on the roundabout in Blenheim, and between Marlborough and Canterbury over the last 10 years. So I think that's really important for us. We need to grab these examples of hope when we are faced with such loss and kind of go, oh, okay. And
it so doesn't what's say what's, of course. We don't know what's gone right for them in particular.
Well, I would say, because their main threats are that they are introduced predators, right? Mm-hmm. So dogs, stoats, but also their habitat. So decline in water quality, loss of vegetation, draining of wetlands. Wetlands are important. And the eggs get kind of picked up by Norway rats, which we always called water rats as kids. They're the ones that hang out, the big ones, the ones that terrify my husband.
Yeah,
with the really long tails. And so that they kind of clean up all the eggs. However, I do know that in the top of the South, there have been some huge efforts in the kind of efforts to make New Zealand predator free. And so that will be helping them a lot. We just need to look after their habitats now. So let's talk about them, because like I said, they are smallish, you know, they're a dab chick, even though they're fully grown. People sometimes think that I'm a child, but I am in fact fully grown. I'm just not tall. They are, yeah, about, like I say, half the size of a mallard duck, and they are they look alike, so they're quite neat looking. They're sort of kind of dark brown to black. They have this sort of very glossy head with really lovely silvery feathers, and you know, like kind of George Clooney-ing it. If you think about that kind of, oh, you're a bit of a silver fox, aren't you? Same thing.
Why are you laughing?
I'm not. I just can't believe I said that to you. So luckily you can't see me blushing right now. So they have that going on. They have a bit of Jesse Mulligan going on.
I think I'm more of a silver dingo, to be honest.
Okay, I would have said wolf for something cool. they have been described as rotund and dumpy, and I just think that's a bit judgy. So they're like a duck, aren't they? So they're floaty, and they don't have a tail, and they just hold their rump up in the air while swimming about. And they have very, very sort of startling, piercing yellow eyes, and when it's the breeding season, you know, because their neck and their breast plumage turn red, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Where might one find one, Nicola?
You can find that. Well, do you mean that, like in the country?
Yeah.
In the habitat.
Obviously, well, we're talking ponds and lakes, are we? Yeah.
Yeah, we are. So small lakes, often sort of, you know, sheltered inlets of bigger lakes in the North Island and top of the South, because they're coming back, because there's always hope and we should be looking after the nature, because when we do, it works. Who knew? And if you are from Rotorua, the Rotorua lakes are a massive stronghold for where we are, and there are about 800 birds there now if you want to go and look. And they, the breeding birds like shallow water with lots of vegetation. So, you know, they want to be able to get in and find little places to make their floating nests, and they basically make it like a raft. What I would say is that it's very cool. I was just going to say, so being a local to North Canterbury, the Hurunui district, we recently had a fundraiser for our local fire brigade, who asked me to come down. The fundraiser was a four-wheel drive trip called the Waipara River Run, where they went, and so I was asked to go along and talk to, you know, some very excited particular sector of society who really just want to go and do wheelies in their four-wheel drives.
Yeah.
Who were all looking at me like, why is this lady talking to us about the nature? But I had great yarns to them just before they took off. I said to them, look, my fundamental message is please just don't run over the nature. That'd be great. And then I got really excited about iNaturalist and tried to convince them to all download the app so that while they were out, they could take photos of things.
Not why people go four-wheel driving, Nicola.
I'm trying to have a mash-up here, right? North Canterbury Bogans / nerds. And I spoke to a few of them afterwards, and they were, I don't know that they downloaded the app, but certainly they were keeping an eye out. That would be my message to you if you live in a place where you think you might have small lakes where small little dab chicks might want to hang out. They do need those waterways and lakes to be looked after, and you have to be careful. Vehicles is not great, right? So because they disturb the lakeside and make it too hard for them to nest. So
you've
got to give them a bit of breathing space. We obviously have, because there's 3,000 of them now.
Yeah, it's great news.
The numbers are going up.
And goodness me, Nicola, I've just looked at the time. We've been yabbering on for ages. I've really enjoyed it, but I haven't even asked you to rate the attractiveness of the dab chick on a scale of 1 to 10.
I mean, I think I've already shown my cards, haven't I? Like, I would give them a solid, particularly because of their zebra stripe little babies that sit on their backs. They're getting a solid 8 from me, Jesse.
Great. Well, now, two things. To cross that Rakaia Bridge in 40 seconds, you would have to be travelling at 225 kilometres an hour.
Definitely haven't been doing that.
And let's finish with Benedict Cumberbatch saying penguin. Nicola, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jesse.
Is penguins. These are Fiordland crested penguins, named after this corner of South New Zealand. So why are these woodlands so attractive to penguins? A freshwater stream through the forest makes a handy highway for a parent penguin heading home from a fishing trip.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.